Wherever cancer is, Hancock Health will fight. In any part of you and in all corners of East Central Indiana. From Indianapolis to Greenfield, to Knightstown to Greensburg. From hospital rooms to family rooms, we fight. With technology and medicine. With care backed by the wisdom of Mayo Clinic. For you, for your family, and for your future in Decatur County. We fight cancer here. HancockHealth.org/cancer.
Good morning. It is Tuesday, April 16th, 5 minutes after 11. You're listening to Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. So let's talk about the trades, skilled trades, from plumbing to welding to construction. They've needed more workers as boomers are retiring. And guess who is filling in the gaps?
Who?
Gen Z.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Enrollment in vocational programs and applications for trade schools have been ticking up as younger people are starting to look for careers without the cost of the four-year college degree.
You know what's super interesting is I have a couple kids that I work with at the golf course, and a couple of them are in these, you know, mixed classes where, hey, half the day they're going to go to, say, Brownsburg or Avon, and then the rest of the day they're going to go to, you know, a career center and learn these skills. And there's one guy who just started working there who is literally in the process of getting his GED. He's learning a trade to be a lineman. Mm-hmm. And he just said, look, I'd kind of looked at all this stuff and I can make so much money so fast learning this trade. Why would I screw around with college? And he said, you know, it's kind of dangerous work, but if you know what you're doing, it's reasonably safe and there's a need for it. And, you know, I've said this for many, many, many years because my generation was the generation where they started saying everybody's got to go to college. Mm-hmm. If you don't go to college, you're some sort of zero, right? And that messes with kids' minds. It really screws with people finding their worth because, let's face it, if your educators, your teachers, your counselors, people we're supposed to look up to, and I'm not saying it came from any sort of ill will or malice intent, but when it's stemming from the top down, which is our government that was incentivizing and trying to promote college, people are going to do where they feel the acceptance is. And we led an entire generation of people astray. And so many people got these meaningless degrees. They didn't learn any skill set. They didn't learn any ability to earn a living, you know, on their own. And now we're paying a price for it. So it's good. That's really refreshing to hear that so many young people are saying, look, I see through this bull crap. A four-year college degree doesn't guarantee me anything. Let's get into the world and learn a craft and make a good living.
So we're seeing what? A subtle change in society. People saying that, you know what? You don't need that four-year degree. Go find another skill. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that vocational programs have jumped 16% just in the last year. So there's this whole group of people who are saying no to college. They're going to learn a skill and they're going to retain that skill for the rest of their life. And they can start making money right away, start contributing to society, things that we need. There is like a half a million worker gap in the construction industry. And not only that, they're not going to be burdened with that four-year college degree debt.
My boss and I were having this, my weekend boss and I were having this conversation on Saturday about, you know, like, I hate to say this, but I've said it before, I'll say it again. My degree is completely useless. And I knew that it was going to be completely useless.
What was your degree in?
General studies.
Okay.
And this is where I'm talking about where society mind manipulates people into doing things. And I fell victim to this, which was I was already doing, by the time I was 18 years old, I was doing the thing I wanted to do. By the time I was 18 years old, I was doing the thing I knew I would spend the rest of my life centered around. Now, I've taken breaks and done different things and owned businesses, but the next 22 years of my life have been around the thing I knew I was born to do, which is radio. I had no need to go to college. I had no need to get a college degree. It was a gigantic waste of time and effort and money, but I did it and I finished it because in my mind, there were so many stupid people that I went to school with that it was going to enrage me that if society judged them to be more competent or professional or better than me because they had this meaningless piece of paper, I was so driven by that that I knew, Casey, mm-hmm. literally, Casey, this is 100% a true story. When I went into IUPUI and they asked me, what would you like to major in? I said, which one do you not have to take math in? And they said, Well, I think they had two of them, and one of them was general studies, and they let me take logic, and that's how I got my math credit. The entire time I was in college was a waste. I took the easiest classes I possibly could. General studies, you can take about anything. Casey, I was taking history of the Beatles, history of Jimi Hendrix. Mm-hmm. I was getting A++s, but what the hell good does that do me? No one, not one person, Casey, in any job I've ever had has ever asked to see my college diploma.
Yeah, me either. Okay, so you got your degree out of spite, but you say general studies. I don't know. I think that served you kind of well in the position that you currently have, because we do talk about a litany of things, so you have a broad knowledge of many things which you can speak on.
Casey, I wrote a term paper on ALF's relevance in society. That has served me well.
Yeah. Well, you can talk about ALF, can't you?
I was once in a class, my history of television class, that the teacher acknowledged was so irrelevant that she publicly told the class, because she was liberal, but she was very fair, mm-hmm. that fighting with me was far more fun than teaching the class itself. And there were days where she said, I will give you full credit if you just debate me in this class.
And did you?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
I can think of a handful of classes the entire time I was in college, and I was a dean's list student, and I got great grades, and I did way better in college than I did in high school. But my point of all this is that was a huge waste of my time, my effort, my energy, my resources, my finances. I would have been so much better served if someone would have grabbed me by the throat at 16 years old and said, you need to learn a trade, son. You need to learn how to be able to do productive things. Because let's face it, Casey, while I am phenomenal at this, I have very few other applicable talents. When David Wood and Dion give me the boot here, I'm going to end up a soup kitchen somewhere, and it shouldn't be that way.
Well, maybe you could get into a trade, because there are a lot of plumbers,
too old,
and electricians,
now, Casey, too old.
And skilled workers. They've retired over the past couple of years. Now, you remember that entering a four-year college really shot up back in 2008, and then a lot of those millennials were waiting out the tough job market, and they were racking up the student debt, and now people are wising up, saying, you know what, don't go that route. And it's becoming, I think, more acceptable for people to say no to the four-year degree and go into a trade.
And it's so wild, the amount of professions that are out there. We're talking about things, you know, we mentioned linemen, or we mentioned plumbers, or we mentioned carpenters. There's so many professions that people still need that people are just not going into at all. Here's a great example, and it affects us, radio engineers.
Right.
Because so much, and obviously WIBC and remains a juggernaut, and our cluster is doing very well, but radio has had such struggle, and because it has not been the dominant force that it once was, fewer and fewer and fewer people are going into the engineering profession for radio, that if you still have an aptitude for that, like Skyler and Ken and these guys that still work here, those guys, I have no idea what they're making, but they're probably doing very well, because you just can't go find another one. Like if somebody leaves, you can't just pluck that person out. When I owned a radio station in a rural portion of the country, and we had the same guy for like 10 years, and then he just said, I'm too old for this. I retire. I can't climb towers anymore. What do you do? Mm-hmm. You can't go find some guy. Now, we had a guy who was a former boss of mine who lived 30 miles down the road who took pity on us during emergencies.
Right.
But it didn't exist. Right. The guy could name his price. Whatever it was, you had to pay it, because you don't know how to touch that or wire that or whatever. And so there are all of these things out there that if people are just willing to not listen to the mush that comes out of the government and society in general and realize my worth is in how I provide for myself and my family, and however I do that, as long as it's of legal means, is totally fine. These jobs are out there.
Well, and you know, there's a guy in northern Indiana who does the same thing. I mean, he'll travel across the entire state because there are so few radio engineers. But it's not just knowing the equipment and how to fix it. It's how to do it within the regulation put on by the federal government.
Right.
Because it's all controlled by the government.
So you and I, we didn't work together, but we worked for the same guy.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about this before. He was much nicer to you than he was to me.
Yeah.
Don't know why that would have been.
Because I'm a nice person.
Well, and I'm sure that was totally it.
Yeah.
Did he have, this is how, and this was 15, 20 years ago, whatever it's been now. Radio engineers were getting hard to find back then. Did he have the engineer that used to fly in on his private plane when he would need things fixed?
No, it was the guy who would drive in from the South Bend area.
Okay, all right. Because he used to have a guy mm-hmm. that you would have to, for some reason, he refused to hire a local engineer. Mm-hmm. And whenever something would break, you would have to call the engineer, and he had some sort of private airplane.
Well, you know what that could be? Maybe the guy from South Bend was the emergency guy.
Yeah, it could be. I don't know.
For bigger projects, they'd fly in the professional, right?
We always used to laugh at that, like, hey, your station's off the air. Yeah, it'll be 2 hours. hours before Chuckarino can get down there.
He's got to get his plane ready.
If he answers the phone.
Okay, something else that I thought was interesting that I would have thought would have gotten more attention than what it really has, and that is that Apple is no longer the top phone maker. Oh. It is now Samsung.
It's crazy.
And I don't know if this is because Apple is putting all of their resources into vehicles. You know, they're trying to create that self-driving electric vehicle.
Didn't they pull the plug on that?
Well, they did, but at a loss to what Samsung is doing,
right?
Or has the Galaxy S24 been so amazing that it's outperforming the iPhone?
You and I have talked about this before, about how, and corporations are kind of similar to this, but especially, and Apple is kind of fits in this bubble where you have these corporations that are run by highly eccentric figureheads. Mm-hmm. Like the best example I can think of this, even though he's not in charge anymore, is World Wrestling Entertainment with Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon made literally billions of dollars in the wrestling business. He was the P.T. Barnum, Walt Disney of pro wrestling. Yet almost every other business venture that Vince had, whether it was bodybuilding or it was the XFL or it was movies or whatever, most of them failed spectacularly. And he kept trying to do these things. Why? Because he didn't have the aptitude for that. He did this well. You know, we've worked for radio companies where, if you remember the company we worked for before Urban One, that Emmis got into things outside of radio, and some of those didn't go very well, yet the radio continued to do very well. And sometimes it's just like, here's your lane, right? Your lane is you do this, and I get diversifying. But sometimes the diversification, like in the case of Apple trying to go to cars, you say, wait a second, what made you think that you're going to do, like there already are people who do cars and they do them pretty well and they have such a colossal head start on you. Wouldn't you remain focused on this thing that you do better than everyone else?
That's making money for you.
Right. I've never understood that. And clearly these people are billionaires and millionaires and I'm working here with you, but so they know more about it than I do. But just as some, you know, lay person on the street, I've always looked at that and said, if you do something well,
just focus on that.
Just stay in that one.
Yeah. Well, Samsung right now has 20% of the smartphone market for first quarter of this year. And Apple is in second place with 17%.
Well, look, you know, there's a variety of reasons people have moved away from Apple. And the competition is always good. And I just thought the whole Apple into the car thing and the amount of resources they allocated with nothing to show for it was a very weird thing for me. But look at like Elon Musk, do the thing with the rockets. Mm-hmm. Like, what is that garnering you? Like, what do you think you're going to, what, colonize the moon? Like, what, I don't, sometimes I don't understand the end game. If it is just with Bezos and Elon Musk, hey, we're super rich and eccentric, and we want to show you how rich and eccentric we are, and the trip to space is a loss leader where if enough people talk about it, it doesn't matter how much money we lost. Maybe, I guess, but I don't know. I don't understand that.
It is Kendall and Casey. It's 93 WIBC. You had mentioned Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
And we've got a wrestler who's going to be joining us
yes.
in a moment.
Yeah. So coming up here at 11:30, AEW, All Elite Wrestling. They're going to be at the Farmers Coliseum tomorrow night. They've got a big show on TBS, Dynamite. That's their big show. They're going to be here, and they're going to have a wrestler here in studio talking about their big match they have
All
coming
right.
up.
That's on the way from 93 WIBC.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
Everybody was paying attention to the WNBA, at least for a few minutes of it, as Caitlin Clark was the first round pick and the Indiana Fever picked her. Of course, she got a phone call from your governor. And here is her side of the phone call. See if you can detect anything as Caitlin Clark is talking to Eric Holcomb.
Thanks. I can't wait. I know it's a basketball state. I know the ticket sales have been amazing. So I can't wait. Obviously, I've played in Gainbridge a few times, so I know how amazing it is. I can't think of a better place to start my career.
Did you hear anything?
No. Was I supposed to hear something?
No, I'm just wondering. I think she's done a really good job of handling the media so far, which is surprising for somebody her age. I mean, she's relatively young, and she does it better than some pros who have been doing it for years and years.
Well, let's give Holcomb credit. I mean, he has really upped his game from doing meet and greets and red carpet treatment with domestic terrorists like Malik Muhammad. At least now he is doing it for some of the best and most worthy amongst us like Caitlin Clark. So we got to give Holcomb credit. He is done with the people who are in jail for attempting to kill cops. I guess he's done giving them the VIP treatment, and now
he's moving on to basketball.
It's only
players.
To basketball stars and dignitaries and the best and brightest amongst us. So good job, Holcomb. It only took you 7 years, but you've really upped your game.
Well, speaking of basketball, while the WNBA draft was going on, USA Olympic men's basketball team made an announcement, and they have finalized their roster. And boy, there's some heavy hitters on this list.
Local guy making the team.
I know. Were you surprised about that?
No, Tyrese Halliburton is one of the best players in the NBA. If you've not seen him play for the Pacers, of course, we're talking about, man, he's phenomenal. They're phenomenal. Of course, the Pacers are back in the playoffs. They'll have a seven-game series against the Bucks coming up, starts Saturday. Pacers are exciting to watch, Casey, and the city has long had a love affair. I mean, obviously dating back to the ABA with the Pacers, and the thing, though, about it, this is the thing about Indianapolis. Kind of fair weather fans. You got to be good for us to have interest. Now, if you're good, you get, you know, all in, all hands on deck. But the Pacers are good this year. They're fun to watch. And I love the fact that that Tyrese Halliburton's getting that sort of recognition.
So this team that they have lined up for the Olympics kind of reminds me of the Dream Team just a little bit with some of the names on it. LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Halliburton, like you mentioned. You can see the men's basketball team USA play in the Olympics. Their first game is going to be July 28th, and they play Serbia. The gold medal game will be played on August 10th, and NBC has all of the Olympics again this year.
You know, what's interesting is you mentioned the Dream Team, and it is somewhat similar to that in the sense of one of the things about the Dream Team that was very interesting is they put a couple of guys on that team who are very clearly well past their prime, but were like legacy type appointments. And obviously one was Magic Johnson, you know, another was Larry Bird. Larry Bird could barely walk by the time he made it to the Olympic team. And you kind of see that with this team. Obviously then the Dream Team had guys that were totally in their prime, the Karl Malones, the Michael Jordans, etc. And they sort of melded that together. And if you look at LeBron James is not one of the best basketball players in the world anymore, but they're putting him in there to have that gravitas, the way the Dream Team kind of did. And then when you factor it in with the Jason Tatums and Tyrese Halliburtons, as we said, and Devin Bookers and guys like that, they are kind of creating this maybe new modern Dream Team.
One thing that happened yesterday, tax day, was that your president released what he paid for taxes. Combined income between him, Joe, and Jill Biden, $619,976. That's what they made last year.
Oh, okay. That's what they made last year.
Yep. And then your vice president and her husband made $450,299 last year. They're both saying that they're doing a federal income tax rate of 23.7%. And it kind of reminded me of this clip. I saw this, and I feel like a lot of people felt this way yesterday. It's a family playing the game Monopoly, but this poor kid, he's out, and he's out. Why? Because of taxes.
Six. Oh my gosh.
Where's all your money gone, Daddy?
Taxes.
Six, 9, 10, 11.
Let me fix my houses.
Bug, it's okay. It's part of the game.
No, it's not. It's not fun.
It's not fun to what?
It's the worst part of the game.
Oh, it's what?
Taxes.
He's totally crying. It's the worst part of the game.
Well, you know, and we chuckle about that because it's Monopoly, but with the property taxes being what they are right now, there's a lot of people in the state that are literally getting to where that kid is, and it ain't Monopoly money.
We've got a special guest coming in the studio next.
Yeah, Willow Nightingale from All Elite Wrestling. They're going to be on TBS tomorrow night, and it's coming to you live from the Farmers Coliseum for the AEW Dynamite show on TBS. She's going to join. She's got a big match tomorrow night. We're going to find out all about it. You know we love the wrestling, Casey.
It's coming up with Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. It's Takedown, Rob Kendall.
Yes, that's right, Casey. It's wrestling.
Yes.
It's coming to Indianapolis.
I know. You're so excited.
Let's talk about it, shall
okay.
we?
Okay.
All right. So with us in the WIBC studios, her name is Willow Nightingale. She's with All Elite Wrestling. They're going to be at the Coliseum tomorrow at the fairgrounds mm-hmm. for their Dynamite TV show, which airs 8 p.m. on TBS. And Willow, first of all, welcome to the
Thank
WIBC
you.
Studios. Now, you're saying you've been here before.
Yes. So I want to say in 2020 when I was still just wrestling like on the independent circuit.
Yeah.
I was here at the fairgrounds. But I'm really excited to be at Farmers Coliseum tomorrow.
Yeah, you know? That's right. You're going to be teaming up with Adam Copeland, the TNT champion. You're going to be taking on the TBS champion, Julia Hart and Brody King. It's going to be a little intergender tag team
yep.
match.
Yeah, so this is something that like I don't even think I could have imagined to be like, oh, this is on my bucket list. Because we don't have those happen very often.
Right.
So one, to have the opportunity to be in a mixed tag team match is obviously exciting. But
right.
two, I've been watching Adam Copeland since I was a kid on TV.
Very famous.
So it's really exciting.
Yeah. So what are the rules of an intergender? By the way, so this will be on TBS. So you'll be able to watch tomorrow night, Casey, mm-hmm. 8 p.m. on TBS. You'll be able to see the
yeah.
Farmers Coliseum downtown for All Elite Wrestling. So what are the rules of an intergender tag team match, Willow? Does that mean the men can only face the men, the women can face the women, or is it, hey, who's ever in,
it's rolling?
So I think for the most part, that's how how we navigate that situation. But personally, I have some history with Julia Hart, and she almost always has Brody King at her side.
Oh, yeah.
So anytime I've wrestled her, I've always made like direct eye contact mm-hmm. with him and be like, I'm not scared of you,
right.
you big tough guy. Like he is scary. So I'm hoping I could at least give him a little like, ah, I got you this time.
I want to know about the history you're talking about.
So
spill it.
For the uninformed. uh-huh. I mean, I'm like a very like bubbly person.
You are.
Mm-hmm. I go to the ring, I'm dancing, I'm smiling. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see everyone.
For the record, you are the sort of person without giving away to you're the sort of person people want to cheer for and like and love. You're a lovable character.
I mean, that's what I aim for.
Right.
Fingers crossed that it works, but mm-hmm. sometimes yeah.
I can already see it.
Well, thank you. So yeah, so that's what I try to bring to professional wrestling. But Julia Hart, she's more of a like this dark,
yeah.
you know, kind of like gothic character. When she comes to the ring, it's like a blackout. You can feel like a chill over the air.
Sounds
the
like
arena.
Several women producer Kevin has dated.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Willow, so they mentioned something before you walked in the studio that you are, and I get Rob's alluding to this with your bubbly personality,
yeah.
that you're a face
yes.
and then there's a heel.
Yes.
Do you choose or is it just kind of like your innate nature guides you in that direction?
So I think it is kind of something that's a little bit more innate. Like for me, this is a very organic fit.
Mm-hmm.
Like the person that you see in the ring, for the most part, is who I am in my day-to-day life. But obviously, like people's journey is affected differently. So, you know, if I were to go through some like life-changing event, that mm-hmm. might change my outlook on life. But so far, I've been wrestling for like 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
And here I am, still smiling and still a ray of sunshine.
So Willow Nightingale is our guest. She's a part of All Elite Wrestling. They're going to be at the Farmers Coliseum tomorrow night, 8 o'clock on TBS, AEW Dynamite. How did you even get into wrestling? How does a very kind, loving person like yourself be like, I want to be going through tables and ladders and chairs? I'm like, what?
That's like
how?
Fun.
Tell
Let's
us how.
That.
How does that happen?
You know, so like I was playing video games with my cousins when I was a kid, and it used to be the wrestling video games. And after a while, I was like, this is really fun. I should just watch wrestling. And so around like 8 or 9 years old, I started watching wrestling, immediately became a fan. And as much as I think this like bubbly disposition is a part of my nature, like at the end of the day, like aggression and violence is also a part of human nature. And for me,
she
this
woke up
is
and chose
my
violence.
Outlet.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
This is my outlet to do it, you know, because in my day-to-day life, I'm not going around punching people in the face.
Right.
I don't encourage people to do that. Please do not.
Right. Only 8 p.m. Dynamite, TBS. That's
but
right.
that's the time to do it. So that is kind of like the marriage of those two
right.
for me. And I love it. And I think even if you may not necessarily find yourself being like, oh, I'm a professional wrestling fan. Like I've had friends and family members come out to the show, and no matter what, it's always entertaining.
Yeah.
As a live show, it is a spectacle to see. So I think it's exciting for everyone.
So you said that you used to be on the independent circuit. Talk to us about how things have evolved for you now.
So
the big difference.
How do they find you? Who's like, hey, you'd be great to be on national television.
Right.
So the first difference I would say is like before we were live, I was chatting with you guys about the first time I came here. I had driven 10 hours from Philadelphia to Indianapolis. So now I have a lovely company that travels me sitting on first class. So that's like obviously a privilege, a luxury. Mm-hmm. But I had been busting my butt on the indies for years, and they had asked me to come by and be an extra, which essentially is just like, all right, hang out backstage if we need you for anything. You know, maybe you can do a match. And they asked me to do that quite a few times, and they kept asking me to come back. And there was definitely a point where I was like, do they like me? Like, why are they? Right. They keep asking me back for a reason. And then eventually they gave me a job, and that's kind of...
There's something incredibly charming about your story in the sense of you're just a very down-home, friendly person who's like, I have this dream, and you've committed your life to it, and it's coming true, like right in front of your eyes.
Very cool. Yes, thank you. I'm glad people can resonate with that. Yeah. I don't think when I started wrestling I ever had aspirations of being a role model, right, or like inspiring people and changing lives. But through doing it, I've realized that like there are a lot of people who are really moved through my story and the way that I'm authentically myself in the wrestling ring.
Do you know that they're like, you're on television? Like, does that make you nervous? Because we always joke like there's 10 people listening to our show. No. But we know there's a lot of people listening, but we just kind of forget because it's just us sitting here talking. But you're in front of all these people at the Farmers Coliseum. Do you know? Are you nervous? Like, oh my gosh, there's, you know, hundreds of thousands of people watching me.
I mean, I'm nervous for every single match, and I always have been. Because even I think if there's only like... when I was on the indies, let's say there's like 100 people in the crowd.
Yeah.
I grew up in the internet age. So no matter what I did, even when I'm just starting out and I'm not really good, it's going to end up online. And if you mess up like big time, that could go viral in a big way. And that's just like the reality of the world we live in now. So it's not really something that scared me when I got here. When I got to AEW, it felt more like a position of privilege to have my work on display to so many people.
Yeah.
Because I've been working for years to get to that point, and now I'm confident that what I do is worth being seen by that many people. And I think everybody in AEW carries that same sentiment with
How
them.
Often are you on the road?
So me personally, I travel for Dynamite, which is every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern time on TBS. So I usually travel. I'm traveling into places on Tuesday and traveling back home on Thursday. This weekend, we have a pay-per-view in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. So I'll be traveling again on Saturday, coming home Monday. And we also have a show on Saturday, Collision, which is on TNT. And so sometimes I'm asked to be a part of that, but right now I'm mainly on Dynamite.
So Sunday, April the 21st, the pay-per-view is called Dynasty. And
correct,
you're going to be battling this same pesky, evil, gothic, dark Julia Hart for the TBS championship. Now, if you need somebody to maybe do a run-in, throw some salt in her eyes, distract the referee.
Are you volunteering?
I would be willing to do that for you. St. Louis is lovely this time of year.
I'll keep that knowledge in my back pocket. I'll hold on to that.
Willow, how do you prepare for the matches? Like, what do you do to psych yourself up to face that evil?
So me personally, stretching. You wrestle for 9 years. It takes a wear, you feel the wear and tear on your body. So stretching and warming up. It's definitely a big one these days. What I actually tell myself, I don't know if I could say, I tell myself I'm a bad bee from hell and nobody can mess with me. And I repeat that to myself right before I go through the curtain. I'm like, nobody can mess with you.
Do the chair shots hurt?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Did you have to, like, how do they educate you on how to do that? Because it looks really painful.
It is. That's all there is to it. When I was 9 years old, I asked my dad to hit me with a chair because I wanted to know what it felt like. And he was like, are you crazy? And I was like, maybe a little bit. I don't know.
Did he do it?
No.
Oh.
No, not a chance on earth. No.
Casey, would you lay your kid in with a chair shot at 9 years old if you thought it would help their career?
Probably not. No. I would say, let's take a class. Let's find out. How do we do this?
Tomorrow night, Wednesday, 8 o'clock, TBS, AEW Dynamite. Willow Nightingale, you're awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming in. You're listening to Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. Right on the right side, every night.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
Don't know much about history. Don't know much biology. Don't know much about
Rob, you have a membership to Costco, and I'm sure that you're one of those people that gets in line for the $1.50 hot dog and soda combo, aren't you?
My wife is one of those people, Casey. I am not one of those people.
Costco making new rules that you have to now show your membership card when you're in line. They haven't been actually asking people to prove that they're a member of Costco to get that $1.50 hot dog, but now they're getting tough on it.
So. Wait. You got to show the membership card to get into the Costco.
Yeah, I know. And now they're double checking to make sure when you get the $1.50 hot dog, they're doing it there too.
All right. So here's what we kind of determined with the Costco is because like Costco is like a shiny new toy mm-hmm. that the first couple times you go, you're like, oh my gosh, it's the Willy Wonka factory.
Yeah.
And it's so cool to run around. Then you realize unless you live in a very large homestead mm-hmm. or you have multiple freezers / refrigerators, a normal suburban family's home.
Yeah.
It's almost impossible to effectively stock all the stuff that you end up with.
That's what I've been saying for years. When you go to Costco, the packaging is just so large. Where do you keep this stuff?
So we have kind of limited our scope in which we shop at Costco for. So the toilet paper, the paper towels, mm-hmm. bottled water.
Yep.
Obviously diapers, wipes. Now we're still on your wipes.
Oh, good.
You know, for those of you who missed that, a month or so ago, Casey and her husband purchased a large amount of wipes that didn't go for the purpose they had anticipated them going for, so they gifted them to us.
Yeah.
But I believe you got them at Costco.
Costco.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. You and I, with the exception of the diapers and wipes, we have the same shopping list so far.
Absolutely. And so if it's stuff you can throw out in your garage mm-hmm. or wherever you store extra
large
stuff,
items. Yeah.
Yeah, you're fine. But man, I'll tell you what, I don't know really on most stuff how you make that work unless, and I told you the other thing that became frustrating about Costco was my wife, and this is how she operates. She sees something that she wants to eat in that moment
mm-hmm.
and then buys it.
Right.
But then ultimately, there's a whole bunch extra, and it's like, somebody better eat that.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess I'll eat that.
Yeah, because the packaging is so large, it's going to hang around for a while.
And my wife is content to just let it spoil.
Yeah.
So I take it upon myself to realize, hey, crap's really expensive. I guess I'll just eat the same package of ham or what was the, like, ham sandwich. We bought these frozen croissants that have mm-hmm. ham and cheese in them, or I mean, there's been
you better really like them.
Well, there's infinite numbers of things that just end up thrown in the freezer, and then there's no other room in the freezer for the stuff that I actually want. So in order to be able to go to the store mm-hmm. and buy the things that I actually want in a normal size quantity, I gotta eat things I don't want for 2 weeks.
So when you go to Costco and she picks something out, you better really like it because you know you're going to be eating it over and over and over again.
So
our time.
Yes, so we have narrowed the scope. I've effectively managed to convince her to narrow the scope of things by which we shop for at the Costco. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, now they're selling up to $200 million worth of gold and silver each month. So when you're thinking of getting, I don't know, some investments with all of your money, how about Costco gold?
Well, so this came out the other day, and I thought, what? So you're what? You're there getting two large packages of muffins
mm-hmm.
and 93 miniature frozen pizzas, and then you're like, let me get some gold while
right,
I'm at it?
Right, let me pick up that 1 ounce 24 karat gold bar while I'm here in the grocery store. Well, they're doing it, and they're doing big business because of it, and they have actually been selling much more than you would think, and they say it's because they make it easy. People want to invest. Investors say that you should put 3-5% of your investments into gold. And rather than go online and have to do some account and start up some new trade service, you're already at Costco. You already have the membership there, which you've proven when you walked in the door. So just buy your gold there.
Okay. All right. Let's just play this out here for a second. Okay. And everybody can have their own investment strategy and consult your trained investment professional. But maybe this is part of the issue here. here. They're encouraging you by going directly to the Costco. You're not consulting a trained professional. I don't know. Here's my thing. What I know is I was on the phone yesterday with Bill Demery's people, getting updates, statuses, etc. And I feel like I got good answers. Mm-hmm. Like, and then you decide, hey, what do you want to do going forward? And here's how you did last year. And here's what we're thinking for this year. And here's, you know, what we're predicting. And here's your long-term strategy. I don't think you have that when you run into the Costco to buy your gold.
What, you're not going to trust Brad behind the counter there at Costco?
I get everybody should do their own thing. I'm just saying this is how I'm handling mine. And I get I'm a little more peculiar about my money maybe than some people are. I'm just saying I don't think that's probably the strategy for me.
Can you imagine? You're talking about trusting Bill Demery, who's been doing this for decades and is trusted, versus, oh, I don't know, Chad, who just got done with his trainee course at Costco 3 months ago.
By the way, can I just say that it should not have to be this hard to understand the financial system? And thank God there are people like Bill Demery and his people out there. But it's like you get your report. Mm-hmm. And I look, I'm a college educated person. I am a person who is pretty good with my money. I balance our family's checkbook. I pay our bills. I pay our credit card. I know a thing or two about how the economy works. I've owned businesses. And I look at these economic reports and go,
what does that even
Bill,
mean?
Bill, help. Somebody please interpret this for me. I mean, should it really be that hard?
Well, you know what? You could go to Costco. You could purchase some gold. They say they're familiar and it's easy and they make it convenient for you. You can physically go pick up your gold bars right there in your grocery store.
Or Casey, Casey, and hear me out on this. We could just not spend money like drunken sailors. Mm-hmm. Our government could be fiscally responsible with the money we send them, because yesterday was tax day.
Right.
And we could put some actual value back into our dollar and the meaning of America's word and our spending. Uh-huh. And maybe there wouldn't be such a need to diversify into everything but our dollar, because our dollar would have some worth and some meaning. I'm just saying that's also a possibility in the equation.
That is an idea. They haven't listened to that idea for a while now, so I don't believe it's going to start anytime soon. Sorry. Already disappoint.
Well, on that uplifting note, let's go home.
Okay. Thank you, Rob. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you for listening today. This has been Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.